seated. Before we convene the meeting of our congregation, if there are those visiting in our congregation who wish to leave, you may certainly feel free to do so now. Well, this is a very important congregational meeting. It will probably be of some length, of some importance, of course, we know. So if there are those of you visiting who do not wish to stay, you may certainly be excused. Before we convene the meeting of the congregation and before we proceed with the business at hand, we're going to give our visitors just a few moments to leave if they have to, and then we will proceed with our congregational business. The purpose of the meeting today is to hear and act upon a recommendation of the session of the church and supported by the diaconate of the church concerning the matter of the Second Presbyterian Church relationship to the Presbytery of Inaree and proposed relationship to Calvary Presbytery. In other words, the matter of separation from one and joining the other, the matter of the continuing church. This will be presented formally in just a moment by one of the elders. At this time, we're going to call our meeting to order and bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee as Thy servants. We know that Thou art infallible, and we are fallible. Thou art all-wise, and we lack wisdom. And yet Thou hast said in Thy word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. And so, our Father, we come before Thee today asking for wisdom, but that is not the only gift we need. We need also forbearance and understanding, love and compassion, that this meeting may glorify Thy name, that the name of Jesus Christ will in no way be harmed or lessened in our midst because of what we do or how we do it. And so we pray for the presence of Thy Spirit among us to order this meeting for Thy glory, for the glory and honor of the great head and king of the church, even Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, before I call upon Elder Stuart Patterson, who has been appointed by the session to submit the report of the session to the congregation and their recommendation, I would like to make two or three observations. First of all, I have at my right hand the Book of Church Order, which has very brief parliamentary procedure rules in it. I also have in my hand the latest edition of Robert's Rules of Order, the commonly accepted rules of parliamentary procedure in church courts as well as civic and government places. And the precedent of the parliamentary procedure of Presbytery, of Synod, and General Assembly to guide us. And I trust also the prayers of all the congregation so that this meeting may be conducted fairly, openly, and in the spirit of the highest spirit of love and Christian unity. At this time, we're going to call on Elder Patterson, if he will, please, to come forward. And while he is doing this, we're going to ask the deacons to distribute the resolution as approved by the officers, approved by the session, and Elder Patterson will come forward and present this to the congregation, and then for the session, make a motion regarding it. Elder Patterson. Pardon me. Elder Patterson has already caught me in a parliamentary slip. Ordinarily, the clerk of our session is the clerk of the congregational meeting. Today, we're asking Mr. Walter White, who is the assistant clerk and former clerk, if he will serve as the clerk of this congregational meeting. Is there any objection to Mr. White serving as clerk of the congregational meeting? If not, Mr. White, you are so ordered and appointed to serve. Now, also, let me say one further word. One problem we have in this sanctuary is acoustics. If you want to speak to any of the questions that will be on the floor following the presentation, the proper motion, we're going to ask you to come to this microphone. It has been provided so that everyone can hear you. In the past, some people have complained that they cannot hear a half of what is said in the discussion on questions. So this microphone is tied into the loudspeaker system. If you have something to say, it would greatly help if you would come forward to it. This time, Elder Patterson will now present the resolution and the proper motion from the session.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Can you hear in the back? Can't hear. Is this not working? I'll wait just a minute until everyone has a copy of this resolution. If you'd hold up your hand if you don't have one. If you'll indulge me the time, I'll read it, if you'll follow with me. Second Presbyterian Church, Greenville, South Carolina. Proposed resolution. You can't hear? How do you raise this thing? Is this better? Whereas the Presbyterian Church in the United States, hereafter referred to as PCUS, has officially recognized persons, prepared and distributed materials, defended moral and ethical positions, and condoned and supported practices, all of which we believe are out of accord with the Scriptures and with the Westminster Confession of Faith, the official doctrinal standards of the Church. And whereas we believe that the PCUS has maintained membership in and support of organizations led by authorities alien to the one true head of the Church, and has reorganized its boards and agencies in a way that is inconsistent with the representative form of church government characteristic of historical Presbyterianism, with the result that the Church's programs no longer serve its spiritual mission. And whereas we believe that the General Assembly of the PCUS has unfairly and unconstitutionally restructured some synods and presbyteries against their wills, and has sanctioned unconstitutional union of presbyteries with others not of like faith and order, with the result that the doctrinal purity and material security of some have been compromised. Whereas we believe that the leadership of the PCUS has expended the Church's time, talents, and resources to promote adoption of a new confession of faith and union with organizations that do not confess a truly Reformed faith, nor have a truly Presbyterian form of government, so that their actions are tantamount to the liquidation of the PCUS and establishing of another church organization. Now, in view of these official actions of the PCUS that we believe have repeatedly demonstrated flagrant disregard for its covenant to preserve the peace and purity of the Church, be it therefore resolved that we, the congregation of the Second Presbyterian Church of Greenville, South Carolina, assembled this 8th day of July, 1973 A.D., in constitutionally convened meeting for this express purpose, do hereby, effective as of the adjournment of this meeting, withdraw with all our property, both real and personal, from that ecclesiastical entity known as the Presbyterian Church in the United States, PCUS, and do renounce and deny any jurisdictional authority or control by said PCUS, by its presbytery of Ennery, or by any one or more of its other judicatories, over the spiritual and or secular affairs of this congregation. And be it also resolved that we on this same day do pledge our commitment to the principle of a continuing Presbyterian Church, loyal to the Scriptures, the Reformed faith, the Great Commission, and the historic Presbyterian form of government, all as set forth in the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Book of Church Order as referred to in the Articles of Incorporation, as amended, of this congregation. And we do hereby declare our intention to submit ourselves to the jurisdiction of Calvary Presbytery, the Provisional Church Court for the State of South Carolina, of that ecclesiastical entity now in the process of formation, temporarily known as the Continuing Presbyterian Church. And be it further resolved that we pledge our love and fellowship as brothers in Christ with all those who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but may in this present time and situation follow a different course of action, thus committing ourselves to continued fellowship in love, though separate in ecclesiastical affiliation, with all men of goodwill and of light conviction of the truth, all for the glory of God and the unity of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Moderator, on behalf of the session, I move that the congregation adopt the three resolved sections of this resolution, and in so doing, direct and empower the session to notify Ennery Presbytery of this action, and to take action as quickly as possible to sign our church in as a charter member of Calvary Presbytery. I also request the right to the floor.
Motion has been made. Is there a second to the motion? Motion has been seconded. I think customarily it is the privilege of the man making the report to speak first, and then we will hear others from it, if you wish to speak.
Mr. Moderator, I'll try to make this brief. First, I would like to honor a request that's been made to the session that a brief statement be read that was presented by one of our members, Colonel Harry Campbell. I trust he was able to be with us. I haven't spotted him. The session approved the reading of this. This past Wednesday, July 4th, marked the 197th anniversary of our founding as a nation. the most important date in American history when our forefathers signed the now famous document known as the Declaration of Independence. We are all quite familiar with this story and with the various circumstances which led to this momentous event, why and how it all came about, why the colonial delegates had met in continuous sessions extending over some 12 weeks amidst dissidence and bitter controversy concerning some of the principles involved, but how those most timid had one by one gained the courage to pledge their lives finally in the struggle for freedom. It required most resolute courage, conviction, and faith to thus commit themselves and their followers irrevocably to rebellion against the mother country, nor was it possible to sever without understandable misgivings the bonds which had united them for many generations. Yet our founding fathers did so, motivated by necessity. Today, nearly two centuries later, we're gathered here as one small segment of a large church organization, in a situation somewhat parallel to that of our forefathers and with a like decision to be made. And in a sense, perhaps we too may be considered as rebellious, reluctant as we may be to sever those bonds which have hitherto united us to PCUS. However, this nation, born of and founded upon rebellion, has ever recognized the right to voice dissension whenever justified. And today, more than ever before, these rights assume dominant importance if we are to continue to exercise our prerogatives as Presbyterians and to voice our disapproval wherein we believe it justified in accordance with our conscience. An alternate course would mean merely submission to and adherence with certain principles with which we cannot in proper conscience agree, which in effect would require surrender of our rights as a congregation, together with our collective principles and consciences as members of a free society. Let us humbly pray that our decision may be justified. Secondly, I'd like to attempt very briefly to answer a few questions that have arisen, one of which has primarily to do with the question of why don't we stay and fight. I'll read you a very brief statement on that subject. There are those who say we should stay in the PCUS and fight. This sounds good and has been the position of the conservatives for the past three decades. However, things have happened which have caused a sober reevaluation of that position. Since 1954, when a plan of union was defeated, the evangelicals or conservatives have lost every major battle in the church, and I'll cite only a few. Massive efforts have been mounted over and over again to have the denomination withdraw its endorsement, support, and involvement in the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches, organizations which have become increasingly the tool of the most radical churchmen, indeed has usually been the religious voice of the world communist conspiracy. Every effort has failed, and the past two assemblies have brushed aside these efforts with little dissent. We have led the efforts to oppose the church's recent endorsement of mass abortion for socioeconomic reasons, but to no avail. Not only have we lost this battle, but we witnessed the spectacle of the church spending nearly $100,000 so far this year alone to pay for such abortions. 3. We have made every effort to defeat the restructuring of the church, which has effectively weakened the concept of representative government in the church courts, but have lost. We have attempted to insist that our Constitution be followed in the matter of church union, of union presbyteries, requiring a three-fourths approval of such unions. But it's been the General Assembly's policy to lay aside the constitutional requirement and enter into these unlawful unions by a simple majority vote. Another example is the matter of our presbyteries exposing the fact that the World Missions Board granted $10,000 for insurgent groups in Angola. Through congressional records, we discovered that this group is armed with weapons from China and Eastern Europe, that they are avowed Maoists, and we even have names of people that are murdered and kidnapped. But General Assembly brushed the protests aside, and even refused to consider the massive documented evidence which was presented. These are but scattered examples of what's been happening. It is difficult to see the wisdom of the position that suggests that we stay and fight, when the rules of the game are changed every inning to suit the winning side. It's very hard to accept this advice, especially from so many ministers who are now offering it. These same men, all too often in the past, sat on the sidelines and refused to enter the fray when there was hope of victory. I think one other thing should be added. Why we shouldn't stay and fight is that the separation is now at hand. You should know that as of last Sunday, 143 churches had already dissolved their relationships with PCUS and joined the continuing church. 19 in South Carolina withdrew last Sunday and formed Calvary Presbytery last Sunday night. Mr. Moderator, in accordance with parliamentary procedure, I request the right to a brief summary statement when debate is ended.
Now, Mr. Patterson refers to the fact that the chairman of the committee making a report after the question has been called does have the right to have a few more words before the vote is taken. That was your right. Now, the motion is on the floor. It has been seconded. It has been supported by the maker of the motion. Mr. Hallbrook?
Mr. Moderator, I would like to offer an amendment to Dr. Patterson's motion. That is, that all balloting be done by standing vote.
The amendment is in order. Is there a second to the amendment? Now, we must now, at this point, limit all debate to the amendment, which is simply that the vote be taken by standing vote. Is there any discussion on the amendment? If so, please stand and be recognized and come forward to the microphone. Any discussion on the amendment? If not, so many as favor the amendment, which is simply the recording of how the vote shall be recorded by standing vote, let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it unless there is a call for division. Is there a call for division? The ayes have it, then the vote, this is an amendment, therefore if the motion passes, the amendment will also pass. Now we're back to the main motion as amended. Mr. Cumbers. Mr. Cumbers wishes to speak to the motion. You can come up here if you wish. Yes, sir.
Mr. Moderator, friends, fellow Presbyterians, the situation, can you hear me now? No.
Maybe just take it like this. Oh. Directly.
How about that? The situation which now faces us has arisen not quickly, but over a long period of years. Some historians place the beginning as far back as 30 years ago. And for a number of years, the session and others of this congregation have noted with grave and growing concern the accelerating liberal trend within the PCUS. We have opposed much of what has taken place in recent years. We have come to feel completely out of step with the denomination and feel that we can no longer tolerate the marked departures from Presbyterian doctrine and the repeated violations of its constitution that have taken place. This position is summarized in the resolution now before us. In doctrinal matters, the authenticity and authority of the Bible have been denied. And we are now officially told that the Bible is not the Word of God, but only contains the Word of God, and that we are to rely also for guidance on revelation and the witness of the Church. Human reasoning and human experience are often given higher authority than God's written word. Evangelism, which our creed states to be the primary purpose of the Church, is now defined in terms of social action. And social action is given priority over evangelism. For example, this last General Assembly in 1973, in its five-year program for fighting hunger in the world, refused to permit gifts of food to be designated as being given in the name of the Church or even in the name of the Lord. Because, quote, such designation would detract from the emphasis of the program, end quote. All church officers, deacons, elders, and ministers are constitutionally required when ordained to affirm their sincere belief in the Bible and the Presbyterian doctrine and to pledge their personal loyalty and support. The church courts are composed of elders and ministers who have, or should have, taken these vows. In addition, all church courts are charged with the responsibility of maintaining peace and purity in the church by exercising specific rules and procedures in cases of departure from doctrinal or governmental standards by individuals or by the courts themselves. Even though our denomination is still technically committed to its constitution, which requires these vows and imposes these responsibilities, violations, both doctrinal and governmental, continue to occur in increasing numbers without admonition or correction. Complaints to the courts are either brushed aside or quickly voted down. Liberal forces, through political maneuvering, gained complete control of the Presbyterian Church, U.S. Your session is convinced that these forces are resolute in their purpose and will retain control by whatever means expediency may require. Evidence of this statement is contained in a paper issued recently by the General Assembly, stating that the ordination vows to which I just referred are, quote, to be construed broadly and not in a strict sense. Such a statement can only be understood as an attempt to gloss over prior violations and pave the way for further broad interpretations. In 1967, this congregation updated its original charter of 92, to which it added a statement that union by PCUS with any denomination which does not conform with the historic Presbyterian doctrine and government would be good and sufficient grounds for withdrawal from PCUS. These grounds are now well established. In addition, the PCUS, through its numerous and broad doctrinal departures, has reached the point where it is now Presbyterian in name only, leaving us with the option of remaining with a non-Presbyterian body or associating ourselves with other Presbyterians. Until recently, we had no choice but to remain and affirm our belief. For you and for me, that was easy. But for our minister, it has meant standing with the minority on the floor of presbytery, oftentimes alone, and being subjected to harassment and persecution, both in and out of the church court. Now the time is right. By adoption of this resolution, we will remain Presbyterian. We will reaffirm our loyalty to traditional Presbyterian doctrines. We will associate ourselves with a growing number of like-minded Presbyterians, as Dr. Patterson has just mentioned. We will have a voice in organizing a new continuing church, faithful to Presbyterian doctrines, and we believe we will have an excellent chance of retaining our property. Dr. Patterson mentioned the question of why not stay and work toward unity in the church. Dr. Nelson Bell held this view when he accepted nomination as moderator of the 1972 assembly in the high hope. But his close friends will now tell you that he is a sad and disillusioned man. It is quite apparent the leadership is dedicated to achieving ecumenism and will accomplish it by any means possible. When Dr. Bell was elected moderator, the assembly deferred action on union and on a new confession of faith. These actions apparently were intended to instill false hope for unity in the minds of conservatives, but failed when one liberal openly boasted that with Union Presbyteries, which we now have in increasing numbers, and with the restructuring of the church, the liberals could be taken over without full organic union. The liberals could take over the conservatives without full organic union. We believe this is true. The day is not far off when the liberals will have a sufficient majority to make constitutional requirements for any changes which they may desire. Bear in mind some of the proposed features of union, such as abolition of the order, office of ruling elder, the establishment of the office of bishop to oversee and direct the work and worship of each congregation, and the ownership of all property by the assembly. Now, your session has tried diligently to give you all the information at its disposal. We have earnestly refrained from attempting to bind the conscience of any individual. Your decision should come from your own conscience, as you may be led by the Holy Spirit. That is your and my right and our responsibility. Whatever the decision, be assured it will be received in Christian love, and believing that we are of all of one mind in doctrine, in the hope that we may all continue as one in Christian fellowship. The session and the diaconate have overwhelmingly approved the resolution. In the belief that is, as in earlier days, we publicly professed our faith, the time has come for us to publish to the world our reaffirmation of that faith. We do not propose to withdraw from the Presbyterian Church, for the PCUS has, in fact, left us. By denying authority and power of the Word of God, by desertion of Presbyterian doctrine, and by abrogation of its own constitution, it has become a man-made structure, Presbyterian in name only. Disbelief and false doctrines have periodically crept into the church from its earliest days. Let us refresh our minds with the words of the apostles, voiced under somewhat similar circumstances. In Paul's letter to the Romans, in the 16th chapter, the 17th verse, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." And then his letter to Galatians, the eighth verse of the first chapter. "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." In the second epistle of John, we read, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both God, the Father, and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." We come not to sit in judgment over any individual or to condemn any person. That is for God alone. But we have been given the Holy Scriptures for our guidance, We've been given the intelligence to hear and to read the Word. Let us now hearken to the Word of God. And may the grace of God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, in your heart and mine, lead us this day and all the days of our lives to do His will, that by so doing, we may bring honor and glory to His name. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Now, the moderator is going to rule, unless he is challenged from the floor, that there can be no further speeches accepted for the motion until at least two persons have had opportunity to speak against the motion, and so that both sides may be equally heard. So if there's no objection to that, there will be no, if you want to speak to the motion, you'll have to wait until after at least two people have had opportunity to speak against the motion. So if we have further discussion, we're going to give ample opportunity for everyone to speak their mind, but right now I'm going to rule that you have to speak against the motion to be in order. Does anyone wish to speak against the motion? Please stand and identify yourself and come to the microphone. Is there any further discussion of any kind on the motion? If so, let it be known by standing and identifying yourself and coming to the microphone. If not, is there a call for the question? Question has been called for. It has been seconded, which is not debatable. So many as favor calling the question, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And now, Mr. Patterson, we accord you the right as the chairman of the committee to sum up anything you wish to say.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I appreciate Mr. Cumbus' report for the session. I would like to add just a couple of facts. I would like you to know that the session has voted at its last meeting to honor our financial commitments to NRE Presbytery. Even if this motion passes, that means we have financial commitments to them and their causes through this year. Furthermore, there is no reason that we can't continue to support any of the causes that NRE Presbytery supports by direct gifts. In fact, we can even send our money through them. Through the NRE Presbytery or the Synod of the Southeast, either one. I want to answer another question that's been raised by a number of people. It has been answered in print, but I'd like you to know that ministers' annuities, our minister, retired ministers, their retirement benefits and annuities are vested after 5 years. Gordon could resign the ministry if he wanted to, and he would still have his retirement money. I would like to speak to another point, and that is the reference to pulling out. I believe that George made it very clear that we are the ones who've been left. We're not pulling out of anything. We're going to try to rejoin the Presbyterians. There's been a reference to a split in the church. The PCUS is in a shambles now. There's not a question of a split in the PCUS. And as far as this church is concerned, I have sensed a great deal of unity. I know there's some people with reservations, but the officers, with only one abstention and no negative votes, both the session and the deacons have voted unanimously to recommend this action, which seems to me a rather substantial unity, so that essentially the only possibility of splitting this church in the real sense would be if a minority attempted to thwart the will of the majority. I know that this kind of an action is very traumatic for a lot of people. I know that many of you realize that I was not born a Presbyterian. And many of you, of course, were, and your fathers and your forefathers are Presbyterians. And I know that it's traumatic for you to break official ties that have lasted for generations. However, I remind you that those official ties have been very tenuous for many years. We have, in effect, been an independent church for many years. We don't use the church's literature. We have to designate our gifts to be sure they get to the place that we intend them to go. And this is an actual fact that's been documented. The money's been skimmed off and sent to some other place. So that I think the change would not be noticeable locally. What we're able to do and how we feel about doing it will be quite different. But officially, there'll be very little difference. Now, breaking family ties is another thing, personal ties, and I understand that. But I would just say that as one who was not born a Presbyterian, I have no blood relative who's a Presbyterian except my three children. So that long ago I made a decision to make such a break, to join this church. And I can tell you this, that with the situation being the way it is today, the sacrifice is no longer worth the price. What I get from the PCUS is simply not worth the sacrifice of that division. It would be if we had the kind of church I envision for the continuing church. And finally, I want to assure you that there's no need to consider changing the name of this local church. You can't rewrite history, and you can't change the fact that this is the second Presbyterian church to be founded in Greenville, South Carolina. This will always be the second Presbyterian church. It'll just be the fine print that will change, of the Calvary Presbytery rather than of the Innery Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, since debate has been allowed, it seems to me that the time for talk has ended and the time for action has come. And so if someone, we've already called for the question.
We've called for the question. You're having the right of the chairman.
Thank you, sir. And I would request, if you will, that you would offer a prayer for guidance and for unity and get on with the vote.
Request for prayer is always in order. We will proceed with the voting, but I think the suggestion that we pray is most appropriate. I realize the time is getting away, but if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy to be here. Let's bow our heads in a few moments of solemn, silent, personal prayer. May we all bend our wills to the Lord, and if what we have decided to do, either for or against, seems in this last moment of silent reflection to be contrary to the will of God, let us have the grace to acknowledge it. Let us all pray silently for just a moment. Father, thou dost know our hearts far better than we know them, and we ask of thee to have thine own way. Help us, O God, not to insist upon our way, but to earnestly seek thy way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in order for this to be done correctly, the moderator will make the following ruling. In order for the deacons to be aware of the total number who will be voting, it will be necessary for the congregation to stand by sections and let the deacons count you. Now, let me explain this. If you are a voting, communing member, if you have joined the church, either by profession of faith or by letter, and currently on the active roll of the church, you are counted as a part of the voting membership of the church. Now, the way to determine the number is going to be, without objection, for each section to stand, just those people in that section who are voting, communing members, be counted and then sit back down. So that when we take the votes aye and nay, they'll have to tally up to the number that has been taken, or else those who wish to abstain will be given the privilege of doing so. Now, technically, if someone wants to challenge me on that, this is the time to do so. The court has to allow the privilege of abstaining. The court may do this through the moderator. I'm going to state that those of you who are voting may vote yes, or you may vote no, or you may abstain. If there's no appeal on that ruling, we will proceed. Anybody wish to challenge the moderator granting the right of abstaining to those who do not wish to vote? All right, if we will have everybody in this section right here stand who is a voting communing member, and will the deacons quickly count them, and then we'll ask Mr. Allen, your back section will be doing the same time. The back section on my right hand, far back section of the church, please stand if you're a voting communing member. Let Mr. Allen count you. Just stand if you're a member of the church and voting communing member. He's going to count you to determine how many are here. Mr. Brown will help you. Mr. Reddick, are you prepared to count your section? All right, will the back section on the left, far back section, stand to be counted, just so we'll know how many people are present for voting purposes. You prepared over here to count? All right, if this section right here will stand, those who are voting communing members, please stand and be counted so we'll know how many are present. And the choir, voting communing members. Now we have deacons prepared to count the first four rows. All right, will the first four rows, voting communing members on the first four rows, please stand. You may be seated in the other sections if you've already been counted. Now the last section, which would be the last four rows on both sides of the center section, please think. Who's counting this section? All right, Mr. Anderson's going to count this thing. The rest of you can sit down. We're trying to determine how many people are present to vote. As soon as you have counted the totals, please report to Mr. Ridenour that he might record the number of people eligible to vote. Brethren, finish your tally report to Mr. Ridenour. Now, while they finish in the center section, has anyone come in since the count started of the number of people present? If so, please raise your hand or stand up. You've come in since. Begin to tally. Here's one in the center section, Mr. Ridenour. Any others have come in since we started counting how many were here? One additional person. Now, how many do we have in the nursery? Two additional persons in the center section. Front center section. Right, you may be seated. Now, do we have a count how many voting commuting members may be in the nursery attending the nursery? Will someone please get that tally? I understand that the members of the church who are in the nursery are already up here, so Mr. Brown can return in just a moment. Now, do we have a tally on the total number of voting members present? You haven't got Mr. Reddick's total yet? Harvey, I think I sent you on a wild goose chase. They're already up here. As soon as Mr. Ridenour has his tally, he'd like to hear from him. There are 276 voting members present. Does anyone wish to contest that number? Incidentally, a quorum would be 1/6, so that would be well over the required quorum. Once again, may I explain? You may vote yes, you may vote no, you may abstain. And that is your privilege to do so. Now, I'm going to ask that we vote. Question has been called for as amended, and we will now vote by standing, and we'll ask the entire congregation to vote at one time on the yeas and then on the nays, and then the different men in charge of the section can count them. Will that confuse the counters if everybody's standing? All right, can they count? All right. So many as favor the motion of the session to approve the resolution, please let it be known by standing. Remain standing until you're counted. gentlemen who are counting, when you have finished counting, please let the section you're counting know if you're finished so they can sit down. Mr. Allen is through counting. Mr. Reddick, you through counting?
Sure.
You report to Mr. Ridenour, please. Has this section been counted? This section has been counted. Has this section been counted over here? Has the choir been counted? Has this section been counted? This section is here? This one right here. All right. How about the center section? Everybody's through counting. Please report to Mr. Ridenour, who is speaking to Allen. Right now, when you get that tally, if you will bring it to me, you will not report on the number until you finish the vote. Proceed with the voting. Counters are reminded to count themselves either affirmative or negative depending on their vote. Apparently, we have one discrepancy, and Mr. Reddick reports that two people left this section back here on my left and to your right. This last section, so that there were 37 people who stood to be recognized as having been there, and then everyone stood on the affirmative, and there were 35 instead of 37. Does anybody on the affirmative side wish to contest that vote? Since there were no negatives in that section, apparently. Is that correct?
You will only count the affirmatives.
You will discard the former figure 37 and revert back to 35. Anybody in the affirmative wish to contest that? All right. We ready to count now again. All who are opposed to the motion, please let it be known by standing. Count by section. The counters, please remember to count themselves if they're voting. Have we the count now? Have we the count? Who is counting the choir? All right, the choir may be seated. Who's counting this section over here? Is it counted? All right, this section may be seated. Who's counting the center section? Who's counting the center section? You got that? Center section, who's counting the center section? All right, they may be seated. Who's counting this section? They may be seated. The right rear may be seated. All right, if you'll give the vote to Mr. Ridenour, we'll submit it to the moderator. Thank you. while they're counting their vote, do the Bible school teachers still want to meet at 3 o'clock, Mrs. Cooley, or you want to postpone that until next week? Say, pardon? We've called a meeting of the Bible school teachers for 3 o'clock, and they may want to wait till 4 or till next week. Let me suggest 3:30 for the Bible school teachers, unless I hear otherwise. We have a count. We had one discrepancy in counting, the number here and the number voting. And the number reported in this section was 48, and then we had 48, 4, and 1 again. I simply ordered, unless there is objection, that the affirmative vote be reduced by 1. If not, if you don't like that, we'll recount. Make it 47 to 1. Is there objection to that from anybody in the affirmative side?
This I'm sorry.
All right, allowing for the reduction of 1 in the affirmative side, there the count is 262 in the affirmative, 9 in the negative. Now that will mean then that we have 5 people who are abstaining. Anybody who abstained wish to contest that they're abstaining? All right, 262 affirmative, 9 negative, making a total of 271, and out of the 276 votes, there'll be 5 abstaining. Now, that percentage-wise is 95%, 94.93%. All right, is there any business going out of the business that has been transacted? Mr. Cumbers?
I'd like to offer a motion. Session being instructed. Study the need for revision or amendment of our articles of incorporation and report to the congregation in a matter of its recommendation in this regard and any other matters arising from action within the meeting which may require congregational action.
Is there a second to the motion? You understand the motion is that it will be necessary to change some of the wording in the charter of the church referring to denominational affiliation. Is there any discussion of the motion that the session be ordered to make study and report back to the congregation changes in the wording that may be necessary? Any discussion of the motion? Question has been called for. All in favor of the motion, let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, no. And so ordered. Is there any other business going out of the business we've transacted? Motion has been made that we adjourn. It has been seconded. A motion to adjourn is not debatable. However, the moderator would like to add one word. If there are those of you in present who were on the negative side who feel that the moderator failed to meet the constitutional requirements as far as fairness was concerned and debate and that sort of thing, this would be the proper time to let it be known. Secondly, I'd like to say this, that before this vote was taken, and I'm frankly a bit surprised as far as the tally, I was not at all sure which way the vote was going to go long ago in the game. And I did pledge to this congregation one thing. Regardless of how the vote went, I would not split the congregation. I would not lead any dissident group against the congregation. I resisted considerable pressure from other people who felt I should have taken earlier a stand, including a motion that I not be permitted to serve on certain committees in the continuing church until I had committed myself to withdrawing and leading the church into withdrawal. I have resisted this. I would like, therefore, to appeal to all members of the congregation, negative and positive, affirmative, that we make every effort to work together in unity. And if those of you in conscience, those of you who voted against this, did so in conscience of this, I am absolutely sure. But I would counsel you and encourage you, unless your conscience binds you otherwise, to give an opportunity to see before you make any decision to leave the church or anything like that. We hope no one will. I'm just saying, let's have an opportunity to work together for a season and see if this does not work out as it should. I feel free to ask you to do this because I had already determined to do it myself and had gone on record as saying if the vote goes against what my public stand, then I certainly intend to stay with the church and promote the unity of the church. Motion has been made and seconded that the meeting of the congregation be adjourned. So many as favor the motion, let us stand. As far as I can ascertain, there are no negatives. We will be dismissed with the benediction. We will omit the customary singing of the choral response. The benediction will conclude the congregational meeting. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.